Let's all stand to our feet. Ask our brother Wesley if he'd invite the presence of the Lord to be with us tonight. Amen. You may be seated. Number 177 in the Maranatha book, Make Me a Servant.
Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak, and may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today. Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak, and may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today. Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak, and may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today.
I hope that's the prayer of all of our hearts, is to become not only his servant, but the right kind of a son that he's called us to be. Number 154, the Lord is righteous.
The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them, all that call upon him in truth. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them,
time. Before we go to prayer tonight, I'd just like to mention that Cindy Scheer, that's Naomi's mother, is going to have her surgery tomorrow. We want to keep her in prayer for that. Also, Brother Peter Dix over in Australia is going through a very difficult time. Been in the message over 30 years, backslid about 18 years ago. Him and his wife went out in the world for a period of time, came back, but his wife didn't come back, and in the past few years there's been a separation, and so it's just a very difficult time. His daughter is coming back to the Lord, but he's praying that his wife would come as well, so we want to pray for them tonight as well. We want to continue to pray for Brother Vail. Just to let you know what is happening, his the cancer has gone from his prostate into the bladder, and the bladder is basically cell by cell, layer by layer, being eaten away. So basically, when they do a certain treatment they have that they flush, there's just a lot of body tissue coming out, and so we just want to pray, because that means that it's basically, unless God were to step in there and stop it, he's on his way out, and that's his desire that he goes, but he has a lot of pain in the process as well, and I believe that he'll be only gone for a short period of time, because the resurrection, if it's not this spring, it's going to be next. It's just very close, right at the door. So we want to pray for Brother Vail as well tonight, and then the brethren overseas. There's just a lot of needs overseas. We have a brother, Yusuf. He's been in jail for over 3 years. The 11th, which is tomorrow, is his birthday. And a lot of people are going to be fasting around the world for him tomorrow. And so if you can skip your breakfast and lunch and just join in the rest, that'd be a wonderful thing you could do. I know Brother Branham fasted twice a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays. He'd skip his breakfast and lunch, and he'd take the time that he would have had eating breakfast and lunch to do something for someone, to help someone, and to either be in prayer or to do something kind, you know, for someone. So that's a good thing to do. So we want to keep him in prayer as well. And also there's about a dozen more pastors that have been just arrested. And they're just giving him a hard time. You know, these are men that were arrested, then let go. And, you know, they resolved their problems, and now they're arrested in a different city. So even though they're living in one city, the city that's giving all the troubles is Rashti, and something like that. And so they decided that they would go over to another cities and claim their heretics, and they're going to prosecute them there. So got a bunch of zealot idiots, and that's all that can be said for them. They're not righteous men at all. They're just zealot bigots, and they're causing a lot of problems for believers. And so we just want to pray for those brothers, the 12 of them. And that's all we can do. Brother John, would you take these requests before the Lord?
Dear Heavenly Father and God, we just thank you, Lord, for being able to come here tonight, Lord, and bring these requests before you, God. Lord, we ask you for Sister Cindy Scheer, Lord, having her surgery tomorrow, Lord, and just the way that he's asking you. Let everything go well, Lord, and just help her through this, God. And Lord, we also ask you for Brother Lee Vail, Lord, you know the cancer is spreading, and we know it's his will to want to be taken home, Lord. Lord, we just ask you to help him in his situation. Any pain that he has, Lord, we just ask you to be healing, Brother God, and give him peace throughout this situation, Lord. Lord, we also ask you for all the brothers that are being persecuted, Lord, Brother Yusuf. We just ask you, Lord, to be with them. They've been in prison for 3 years, Lord. We just ask you to give him peace and continue to give him strength in your spirit, God. And Lord, we also just ask you for all the other brothers and sisters all over the world, Lord, that are being persecuted, Lord. Just ask that you be with them, help them in their time of need, God. And Lord, we also lift up this local congregation, Lord. Just ask that you help us become rapture ready, Lord, and help us all to have your spirit and be ready. Be ready for the rapture, Lord. And Lord, we just ask you all these requests in your Son Jesus Christ's name. We ask this.
Amen. Amen. Forgive me for calling anyone an idiot, but some people are. And I just hate religious bigotry. You know, where people, there's basically two or three things that I really, really hate. And that's where people use their religion as a weapon. Where they use their religion to hold people down. And, you know, I know that Brother Branham, he watched everything he said. We need to watch what we say. But if it was within my power, I'd tie all their beards together and put them on a merry-go-round and let them hang by their beards. You know, they're just cruel people. And I know that wasn't very nice to say, but I do it anyway. Amen. So I have to ask the Lord's forgiveness on that one. But, you know, poor brother and his family, you know, even worse is his wife because, she, you know, they have two children. Little boys, and you know, the government has tried to take them away, put them into foster homes so they could be raised up for Allah, and not realizing that Allah is the devil himself, and then they persecute, you know, them, and they can't go. They got people tailing them all the time, and it's just, you know, one day this country will be that way. You know, they're coming that way. Brother Branham said they'll shut down the churches and make them into storehouses and stuff. So it's all coming. But we just need to make sure that our hearts are right with God, and that's where we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Amen. In number 204, Within the Veil.
Within the veil I now have come, into thy holy place
Stand to our feet and we'll sing the angel of the Lord's favorite song, Only Believe.
Only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe, only believe. Only believe, for all things are possible. Only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this evening to Matthew chapter 15, and we'll begin reading for our text from verse 10. This is the doctrine of Christ, number 66, He That Believeth, number 20, The Life of Christ, part 6, and we'll subtitle it, Your Heart. And he called the multitude, and he said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples, and they said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus saith, Are you also without understanding? Do not yet ye understand, that whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashen hands defileth not a man. And Mark chapter 7 and verse 14. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile a man. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever things from without entereth into the man cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defiles the man. For from within, out from the heart, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, and murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Let's bow our heads in prayer to gracious Father. We read several instances, Lord, of the same parable that Jesus was talking, and realizing, Father, that he's talking about our heart, and realizing, O God, that it is the heart and the condition of the heart that will be judged. For out of the heart proceedeth all these things that he talks about, or out from the heart will proceed truth and righteousness and words that are kind and uplifting. And so, Father, we ask that you would help us, Lord, to be masters of our own heart by surrendering our heart, purging our heart, and being filled with thy Holy Spirit, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, notice here that Jesus tells us that defilement comes from within, from the heart. Defilement, he says, is not a condition of being infected from without or affected by that which is without, but defilement is a condition of the heart expressing itself outwardly. Therefore, if defilement does not come from that which is without, then there is nothing that can defile you unless that defilement is already in you to begin with. That's why Brother Vail said, I can read any book I want to, and it won't defile me. Because that's what Brother Branham was saying here. You can pick up things and read just out of curiosity to see where a perspective is or see where somebody's coming from. It's not going to defile you if your heart is right with God. See, from the Godhead explained, Brother Branham said, now I said to Brother Schism and Brother Ness, to answer your question, I said, now, I do not take either side with you brethren. And I know as long as you fuss, you're both wrong. See? Because I would rather be wrong in my doctrine and right in my heart than to be right in my doctrine and wrong in my heart. See? I said, after all, it's your heart's condition. And I made that a practice to know this, that if a man, no matter what he does and how much he differs and what he says about me, if in my heart, not just from my duty, but from my heart, I can't love that man as well as I love anyone else, then I know there's something wrong in here. See, that's right. Now, that's Brother Branham. Can we all say the same thing? Now, from getting in the spirit, Brother Branham said, I don't care if the man's wrong. If he's wrong and sincere in his heart, and you're right in your belief, and you're wrong in acting the way that you're acting, I'd rather be in his place than be in yours. Now, listen. He's saying, if a man is wrong in his doctrine, but you're wrong in the way you act toward that man who's off in the doctrine, he says, you're in a worse shape than he is. He said, I'd rather be wrong in my doctrine and right in my heart. God will respect it more. So if a man is wrong, what of it? Help him. He needs help, just love him. If you can't love your enemy the same as you love those who love you, you're no better off than the publicans. That's right. That's what the church has failed to get. I hope you get it tonight. I hope you see what I'm talking about. Years ago, I preached a message concerning this called the Garden of Your Mind. And every so often, we go back to it. Pieces of it we'll bring up. And we found that every thought that we think is a seed. Just like the thoughts that were in God to begin with were seeds. Brother Branham says, sin is not drinking and smoking and chasing. Those are just attributes of unbelief. The man disbelieves and therefore manifests that disbelief by doing those things that are contrary to the Word of God. And we know that we're all born in sin to begin with. We're all born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and we all came to the world speaking lies, as the Scripture teaches. Therefore, as the Scripture tells us, there is none that is righteous, no, not one. And all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. That's right, Isaiah 64:6. But we are all as an unclean thing. All of our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon the name, thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou have hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art our potter. And we are all the work of thine hand. So if the Lord doesn't build the house, they that labor in vain. Now Jesus links the heart of man with his lips or his tongue. He says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And in Romans 3 and verse 10, Paul says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit, the poison of asps under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursings and bitterness. Well, that's what Jesus said, what Paul just said. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 7 that a tree cannot bring forth good and evil fruit. And James tells us the same thing. Neither can a well bring forth bitter and sweet water. Matthew 7 verse 15, beware of false prophets who come into you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes off of thorns or figs off of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth good evil fruit,
Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Now listen, what is a fruit? Brother Brown said it's a teaching for the season, which is a doctrine. So it says evil tree cannot bring forth the right doctrine. But a good tree cannot preach false doctrine either. So now we've got a conundrum here. Because Brother Brown said, I don't care if your doctrine is right, but if your heart is wrong, I'd rather be in the condition of the guy who doesn't have the doctrine right, but his heart is right. You understand why? Because God is dealing with the heart. And if the heart is good, the doctrine will be good when God opens his eyes to it, when he sees it, when he has a chance to sit under it, lay in the presence of it. But what about the person who's got the doctrine? He's got it all right. Or supposedly all right. At least he's quoting the same things or quoting the, you know, those who do. Well, I've said it many times, brothers, sisters. It's the devil can do that too. The devil quoted Jesus' accurate scripture. He said, it is written, cast thyself down and the angels shall bear thee up. That's right. That's what the scripture says. But it also says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You see? So you can have your doctrine right, but there's other things in the... It's like years ago, there's brothers talking, and one of them said, well, it's going to take him 3 years to catch up to us in the doctrine. And I thought, well, brother, he's light years ahead of you in his spirit, in his heart. I would rather have the nine fruits of the Spirit and then come to the doctrine, which is the tenth fruit of the Spirit, than have the doctrine and not have the nine fruits of the Spirit, because... You're missing one. You know, well, if she's missing one, she was an adulterer. What if you're missing all nine? Hi, yi, yi. Probably be taken as a prostitute, not just an adulterer. You understand? So we can brag about, well, we've got the one. We've got one of the silver coins. What about the other nine? It's got to have all of them, brother, sister. All right. We also find James telling us concerning sweet water and bitter water that any single fountain cannot bring forth both types of water. From James chapter 3, verse 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things not ought to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same time sweet and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs. So no fountain, both can yield salt water and fresh. Now what did James and Jesus mean by these parables? They're saying that outside things are not that which defiles a man. But those things which come forth from the heart are the things that defile the man. Then he lists off a whole lot of things that show defilement within the man. He says, that which cometh out of the mouth, that defileth the man. For from within, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murder, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come forth from within, and they are that which defiles the man. Too much, I've seen in what, I've been in this message for 38 years. And I've been around quite a bit. I've been to 55 countries. I've seen hundreds of churches. And I've seen a lot of make-believe in this message. And I've seen more make-believe in this message in America than I have in all the other countries. Because I see a lot less sincerity in America. I see a lot of message people. But I see a lot less sincerity. And it's because they don't have their hearts focused on Christ. Their heads are. They can quote it. They can say the right things. But then they can say wrong things as well. So how is it that we have bitter water and sweet water coming from the same fountain? How is it that you've got doctrine and blasphemy coming from the same mouth? Because blasphemy isn't blasphemy is from blepophema. It just means words that are hurtful. saying words that are hurtful. So how can you have sweet and bitter at the same time? In Matthew 12, verse 33, we read, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruits." And we know in the Anointed Ones at the end time, Brother Bram said, the fruit is the teaching of the season, what they teach. "Therefore you judge the tree or man by what comes forth from his lips in terms of teaching and in terms of," as Brother Branham said, the Holy Ghost wouldn't tell dirty jokes. The Holy Ghost wouldn't say some of the things that people are saying. But John, could you shut the door? "Therefore you judge a tree or man by what comes forth from his lips." 34, "O generation of vipers," and remember a generation here is lineage. "O lineage of vipers," what's a viper? Adam, you know what a viper is? Different from a regular snake? What is a viper?
I'm not sure.
Okay, it is. It's a serpent with poison. Usually they have a kind of a V-shaped head. He says, "You generation of poisonous serpents." What does it mean, poisonous? Where does the poison come from? A snake. Seth, what part of the body is the poison? Well, does he lick you and you get poisoned?
No.
How do you get the... How does he do that? No. He bites you. He bites you. And so, but it comes out of his mouth, right? All right. Well, Jesus is talking about men here, and he calls them vipers. Because out of their mouth comes poison. And what does poison do? It kills. Right? It kills or it maims. Okay, so that's what we're looking at. Now, notice he says, "You generation of poisonous serpents, you lineage of poisonous serpents, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart will bring forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." He didn't say by your work, by your words. And why is that? Because it is your words, the things that you say, that declare where your heart is, and what things you hold dear within your heart. So we're looking at what is in there, deep within the heart, for that is the real you. And if that has not been born again, you're in a whole lot of trouble. Then your heart is what you are. It is your understanding. It is what you think, and thus what you express. I have a hard time with brothers in this message, this country and others, who say things that are really negative about other races. You don't have to agree with the person. Brother Brown said you should be able to disagree vehemently and still love that person. And it doesn't have to be a Christian to love them. From explaining healing in Jairus, Brother Branham said, "What you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. Those who he called, he justified." Is that right? "Those who he justifies, he has glorified. Already in the presence of the Father, we have a glorified body." Whew, wasn't that deep? All right, we'll find out whether it's right or not. "If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting." Is that right? That's right. So right now, and what you are there is a reflection. Or here, what we are here is a reflection of what we are somewhere else. So if your deeds are evil, you know where it comes from. You know where the other body is waiting. Now in the parable, Jesus is telling us that the mouth is the means wherewith our heart, that which is in the heart, is made known. And Brother Branham here is telling us that what we say out of this mouth is a reflection. So Sunday we're going to get into a sermon on reflection. And we're going to show you that Brother Branham said that if you're, well, speaking of the church, he said if you're reflecting the church, he said then you've got a spirit of churchianity. But if you're reflecting Jesus Christ, then that's what Spirit's controlling you. That's your control tower. You see? Body said, if your deeds are evil, you know where it comes from. You know where your other body's waiting. And condemnation by representation. He says, when a person is preaching a doctrine, then you've got to stay with your own belief. If you don't, then you're a hypocrite. And if you say something because someone else says it, and in your heart you don't believe that, then you're a hypocrite because you're saying something that you don't believe. I'd rather be criticized a little upon that I do believe than to be a hypocrite in the sight of God trying to compromise with someone else. So do we say things because maybe the deacons might hear you? Or maybe the right people might hear you? And you say it to please them? You're a hypocrite. Unless you really do believe those things. Too much of this stuff goes on, even in the message. People's actions in around the believers versus their actions away from the believers. Now, there are a lot of people who claim to believe the message, but their mouth declares them to be hypocrites. Because, on the one hand, they say only what the prophet says. And then when you do say what the prophet says, they criticize you for it. It's like one man in Uganda. He said, well, why do you come here and tear up our country? I said, your country is being tore up? Your whole country is being tore up? He said, yeah. And I said, that's good. And he said, good. You proud of it? I said, no, I'm not proud of it. But Paul said, and the Bible says that everywhere Paul went, there was no small stir. And, you know, so if I came, I told him, I said, if I came here to teach you what you already know, what good would it do for me to come? I taught you what you don't know. So it will stir you up. Then you'll search the truth to see, you'll search the word to see whether I'm teaching the truth or not. But they say, only say what the prophet says. And I said, now, I said, brother, I said, do you believe that the body of Jesus was deity? He said, yes, absolutely. I said, well, then you're not saying what Brother Branham said, because Brother Branham said the body was not deity. Now, how can you claim that Brother Branham is your prophet when you won't teach what he taught? You see? And these are people who say one thing but believe another. And Jesus called them hypocrites, and that's what Brother Branham is telling us here. Now, from a certain sound, Brother Branham said, as I was saying a few days ago, either here or somewhere else speaking on the lie detector. Now notice, close now, I want you to pay close attention, put a lie detector on you, and you try to impersonate that truth and try to say that it's truth, but down on the inside of you, in the subconscious, lays a place called the soul. And this intellectual mind does not govern that vibration of the system. The mind is only a director. It will direct you, and it's very incapable of bringing you to God, your mind. You cannot know God by your mind, intellectual. It's one of the resources or the channels that would lead to it, but your soul is what governs you. You are what you are by your soul. Jesus said to the Pharisees, why you hypocrites, how can you speak good things when they was calling him good master and so forth, and said, out of the abundance of the heart speaketh the lips. And in your heart you hate me, and in your lips you call me good. He said, you're hypocrites. See, your soul is thinking one thing and you're speaking with your lips another thing. What a case. What a horrible thing. What a deceitful thing is a hypocrite. For out of their mind they say one thing when their soul says another thing. Now the lie detector will not work on your mind. It'll work on your soul. It'll work not on your intellects. There, some people can impersonate the truth. They impersonate. Yet, it being a lie and cannot impersonate it till they can deceive like anything. And Satan is the best of that there is. For he has deceived Eve by that way, saying them same things. And the biggest lie was ever told had a lot of truth in it. Now this person, what if you could ever get the soul on the inside so in harmony with God that your soul and God would be one together? Then you could ask what you will and it shall be given to you. Many people come to me and many times in the prayer line and they stand there and they say, oh, Brother Branham, I have plenty of faith. I've got faith to move mountains, and yet they haven't any faith. They hardly have enough faith to get to the platform. But they are conscious of one thing that they do believe. They are believing intellectually with their mind, and their mind will never bring them to God. Your mind is reasonings, and God has no reasonings. And if you can reason it out, your mind will tell you, now looky here, the doctor says I can't get over this. It's impossible. Now the doctor, with his intellect, with his intelligence, with his knowledge of medical science, he's told you the best of the travel of his mind. And you taking your mind and using the same thing the doctor has told you, God can never touch that line as long as you reason. But let's put down reasoning. God never made us to live by our intellect. We live by the Holy Spirit that's in our soul. And that says no to any reasonings that's contrary to God's word. When God's word says it's so, there's nothing in the world stands in its way. Then when you do that, you're getting hold of the right side of God. You're getting down until you can ask what you will, what you want to, and it'll be given you, because there's nothing between there. There's no reason. Let's cast away these reasonings. They stand in your way. Get your mind out of the way and don't say what you reason, what you see, what you think. Say what God's word says to be the truth. And that only comes from the inside, from the heart, and not from the intellect. Too many people got it here. My question to you is, where do you have it? Here? Or do you have it here? For impersonation of Christianity, Brother Branham says, and in this being the intellectual type of church that we have today in America and all over the world, when we get to that type of school, then the Christian, the believer, the church member reading the Bible sees that he must try to act humble. He must try to be this way. But in doing so, he only makes a carnal impersonation. How many people have you met that shake your hand and say, Lord bless you, my brother. They are just so nice, so sweet. And then they go out and fornicate. Or they go out and commit adultery, or they go out and stab you in the back. Brother Branham said they try so hard to be humble. He says he must try to be this way. But in doing so, he only makes a carnal impersonation. Let that soak deep. A carnal comparison. He's trying to act something that he really isn't in his heart. In his heart, he's thinking one thing and trying to act another. Which in real genuine language, that makes him a hypocrite. And Jesus said, you hypocrites, how can you speak good things for out of the abundance of the heart speaketh the mouth. If you don't speak according to what's in your heart thinks one thing and you speak another, that makes you a hypocrite. The very word Pharisee means an actor. They acted out their religion for they had a stony heart. They come and they said, good master, we would see a sign from thee to prove that that you are what you said. How do you call me good, he says, when there's no good but God? And from Uncertain Sound, Brother Brown said, there's where so many people today is going to be so terribly disappointed at the day of judgment to know that they've lived in church, to know that they have done good deeds, to know that they have treated their neighbor right, to know that they have been loyal to the people, loyal to the church, and in their mind have believed that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and be condemned at the last day of judgment, because Jesus said, many are called and few are chosen. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, but few there be that find it. Now, to you people here this morning, I want you to set up and take notice of this. You're old enough now, you've heard enough gospel preaching, till you ought to be able to get off milk and come to the real solid gospel diet, come to the place where men and women ought to stand. Paul said, when you ought to be teachers, why you have yet to be taught. Now, in the soul where the man lives, you are what you are in your soul, not in your mind, not in your reasoning. Not because you say, I will have a better standing, I can associate with better company, I'll become a Christian. That's reasoning, see? You mustn't do that. Don't do that. Let it become from a new experience, a new birth, something that's happened, not in the mind, but in the soul. That's taking all reasonings away, and you become a new creature, and you are in Christ Jesus. And from God making his promise. So now if you're trying to just impersonate it, then you're just making a hypocrite out of yourself, you see? Because you can. Well, you can't do that. Christianity is something that has got to come from the heart. Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees, he said, you're hypocrites. How can you say good things when out of the abundance of the heart speaketh the mouth? Then if the heart thought one thing and the mouth spoke something else, it becomes a hypocrisy, see? We must from our heart express exactly how we feel. We must express it from our heart. And if we can't express the right thing, then keep still. Don't say nothing about it. Can we hear an amen? Amen. Huh?
Amen.
If you can't say something, look, we must express it from the heart. And if we can't express the right thing, then just keep still and say nothing about it. And now if the church ever gets to practicing that, they might have fewer members for a while, but they'll have better members while they're having it. God grant the day when men, when every man or woman will be and express just what they are. Hallelujah. And from exhortation on healing, he said, we learned this, friends, that God knows what your heart is, see? And if you don't speak from your heart, then you're a hypocrite. So my challenge to you, don't put on the dog. Be what you are. And be what you're supposed to be. We are predestinated or foreordained to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. That's what God wants you to be. From Word Became India and Word Became Flesh in India trip, he said, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you're hypocrites. How can you say good things? That's what made them a hypocrite. They thought one thing in their head and expressed their lips with something else. A hypocrite is that. That's what makes a hypocrite. Said, how can you being hypocrites? For out of the abundance of your mouth, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. You don't speak what you really think. And see what mean? And you say, you must say what you think. If you don't think it, don't say it. See? Speak your words. Let them come from the bottom of your heart. Like Jesus said of that tree, no man eateth from thee. Why, there wasn't a shadow of a doubt in his heart what that tree would tree would wither away. Why? His heart was coming from pure. It was the Spirit of God in him, what was making him that way, teaching those disciples a lesson. See what I mean? All right. Then let that be pure. Let your thoughts run pure and your expressions pure. Live pure and be pure. Now, out of your heart proceedeth evil thinkings, adultery, and all these different things. If that comes out of your heart, that's what's in your heart. But if out of your heart comes righteousness and peace and love and joy, oh my, then it's coming from the resource here that's made up of it. That see what I mean? It's made up of the Spirit of God here that's expressed itself through through words. And what you say then will come to pass. You see then, the hearts that we are born with are no good to begin with. And if that isn't so, then we're dependent upon God to give us a right heart. God must give us a new heart, for the heart that we're born with was corrupt to begin with. That's why he gives us another spirit and then his own spirit. In Ezekiel 11, verse 19 to 21, he said, and I will give them one heart and will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of the flesh and will give them a heart of flesh, that they might walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But for them whose hearts walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. Now, why does a man lust with his eyes? Because actually he's lusting with his heart. Right? Why do people lust after things? It's in their heart to do so. In Ezekiel 36, verse 26 to 28, a new heart will I also give you, and a new spirit will put within you. And I will take away the stony heart, out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. In closing, Brother Branham has several quotes here from the Intervale. He says, now notice, there is an intellectual faith and there's a faith that comes from the heart. The old unbeliever said years ago, when the Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, said, that's crazy. There's no mental faculties in the heart. Said, you think with your mind. There's no mental faculties in the heart. But last year, they found out that that was wrong. God was right down in the heart. In the center of the heart, there's a little compartment where there's not even a blood cell in it. It's not in the animal heart, only in the human heart. And they say it's the occupation or the occupant of the soul. The soul lives in the heart. Then after all, God was right when he said, as a man thinketh in his heart, and I'd like to add, so is he. And from here he said, man ain't measured by muscles. That's beast. Man's measured by character. I've seen men that weighed over 200 pounds and all muscle and didn't have an ounce of man in them. Throw a baby out of a mother's arms and ravish her, and that ain't a man, that's a beast. That's brute. Man is character. There never was a man like Jesus Christ, but the Bible said that there is no beauty that we should desire him. Probably a little bitty fellow, stooped in shoulder or something. We all hid as it were, was our faces from him. But there never was a character like that. That's what a real man is. You don't measure a man's muscles by his muscles, but by the bags of his knees in his pants where he's been praying. That's the way that you measure a man, by his character. And it's true. And from impersonation of Christianity, says, yes, watch the order of the scripture. I will take away the old stony heart and will give you a new heart. That's the first order. Some of them stop on that first order now, and you're just getting started. Then he said, I'll give you a new heart, a new spirit. There's where a lot of you Pentecostals failed. You had to have a new spirit. Oh, you felt good and you felt like, well, you felt like, well, anyway. Well, you just got started. You're just getting fixed up now. You're just coming in line. He had to give you a new spirit. Why, you couldn't even get along with yourself with the old spirit that you had. So how are you going to get along with God's spirit? See, he had to give you a new spirit. So what Brother Branham is saying is God gives you a new heart first. Another place Brother Branham said that the new heart that he gives you, that's a new understanding. They said then God gives you a new spirit. He said that new spirit is a new desire to come out of that new understanding. Then he gives you his spirit. And Matthew 13:15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So we're dealing with the heart as a receptacle of the soul. Then the heart is, and its condition is very important because of the influence it plays on the condition of the soul. You raise up a child in the way that they go, and when they get old, they'll not depart. Therefore, if you raise up your child in a condition or an atmosphere of unbelief, it will have a very strong influence on what they believe or whether they believe the Word of God. A child raised up in a very irreverent home will have a much harder time coming to grips with his salvation than one who is raised up in a home where love and respect for God are taught. And the fivefold ministry cannot give you a revelation, but they can prepare your mind to receive the revelation from God. And you parents cannot prepare the minds of your children to receive the Word of God as well. That's your duty before God as a steward, is to try to get the word to their mind so that God can sink it into their heart. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. And how do you do that? He says, talk about them when you sit at home and when you go along the way. And when you lie down, when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. And from blasphemous names, Brother Brown said, as saying, coming to your mental faith right here comes the Holy Spirit coming down into your mental faith, making it a spiritual faith. Then the spiritual faith only recognizes the word. So Brother Brown says that you get the word first in here. Then when the word is here, it drops into here, into your heart. Once it's in your heart and the Holy Spirit anoints it there, no one can take it. It's a spiritual revelation. And so in looking at this condition of the mind, we see that God has come down in this hour to bring about a change of our mind that we might receive his mind. He said, let this mind that was in Christ be in you. And we also know in Colossians 3 and 4, we're told that when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall appear with him in glory, or in the same mindset. So then if it is a condition of the mind, then it must first come to our mind before it can move down into our heart and soul and take over the very ambition and desires of the heart. That's why the scripture tells us where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if you're always looking at Facebook, that's where your heart is. That's right. And I think Facebook is one of the most damnable things that has happened to this generation. I'll tell you why. People spend more time on Facebook than they do in listening to tapes. Facebook's not going to get your soul right. Facebook's not going to get your soul ready for going home. All Facebook is a bunch of gossip. It's all about me, me, me. It's, you know, all you have to do is go to some of the girls, sisters in this message, and look at their Facebook, and there's 100, if not 1,000 pictures of them. Is that not vain? I'm sorry, but you think you want the whole world to see what you look like? Are you so proud? You might disagree with me on this, but I'm going to tell you something. You're wrong. And I'm right. I knew when they first developed Facebook that the NSA put $400,000 up for it. And I warned my students back almost 10 years ago when this stuff was being developed. I said, stay away from it. So you get your pictures on there with you smoking your weeds and everything else, you're not going to get a job. All it's become is just a tool. You know how much money they make off of Facebook? If you like, I'll send you an email. It'll show you. They went from like $4 million the first year to $50 some million the second year to $400 million the third year. I mean, they're up into the billions right now. In like 4 years, they increased by 204% each year. It's incredible. It's incredible. Why? You know what it's about? Vanity. Vanity. It's all about vanity. Besides, if you want to put your stuff out there, get your own website. Then nobody else can come in and put stuff on that you don't want on there. In Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good heart, treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And so here we find the scripture telling us that our heart will only reflect the real treasure that lays inside of it. And it shows that our treasures really are in the things that we talk about. In fact, from his message, Is Your Life Worthy of the Gospel, Brother Branham said, the things that you think on, the things that you do, the actions, the things that you talk about, it creates an atmosphere. And he also said, let me see what a man, from Enticing Spirits, he said, let me see what a man reads, let me see what he watches, what music he listens to, and I can tell you what spiritual condition he's in. Because that's your appetite. And from Is Your Life Worthy of the Gospel, Brother Branham said, the things that you think on, the things that you do, the actions, the things that you talk about, that creates the atmosphere. So, hey, what atmosphere are you creating? One of righteousness and holiness, or one of, look at me? It's all about me. Why do you think they have, you know, the slogans today? It's like McDonald's, and Burger King, you know, it's have it your way. It's all about the me. It's all about the id. The ego, I guess it is, the ego. It's all about the ego. And from what is the Holy Ghost? Brother Rand said, let me talk to a man for 2 minutes, and I can tell whether he's received the Holy Ghost or not. And so can you. It separates them. It's a mark. It's a sign. And the Holy Spirit is a sign. And any child that refused circumcision in the Old Testament, which was a foreshadow of the Holy Ghost, was cut off from amongst the people. He could not have fellowship with the rest of the congregation if he refused to be circumcised. And now pattern that to today. A person that would refuse to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost can have no fellowship among those that have the Holy Ghost. You just can't do it. You have to be a nature. Like my mother used to say, birds of a feather flock together. Well, it's an old proverb, but it's a true one. You don't see doves and crows fellowshipping. Their diets are different. Their habits are different. Their desires are different. And that's the way it is in this world and with Christians. When you've been circumcised by the Holy Spirit, which means that you've had that excess flesh cut off. And so we see that there's a certain diet that we are to partake of. A crow can eat just about anything. Nothing hardly will bother him. But the dove can only eat certain kinds of food. That's his nature. To eat like a crow would kill it. And I'll tell you that I believe with all my heart. I heard a tape one night of a certain preacher in the message. And all he did was holler and scream, and yet nothing was being said. And I couldn't hardly stand it. From thirst, Brother Brown said, there is a control tower in your soul that tells you the spiritual things that you have need of. Something in your spirit. And you, by this, can tell what kind of a life is controlling you. When you can see what your desires are, then you can tell by that what kind of something that's in you that's creating that desire that you have. See, there's a certain thing that you thirst for, and it can tell you in your soul what that desire is by the nature of the thirst that you have. I hope that you can understand that. So what are you thirsting for? Because that tells you the condition of your soul. I hope you understand what I'm saying. If you've got a certain thirst for something that you know isn't right, then you know there's something wrong with your soul. And you need to purge that. And from influence in closing. You know there's so many of us, and most all of us, we influence somebody by the things that we do and the way that we live and the things that we say. We influence somebody. Somebody is watching your life. And then when we profess to be Christians, what type of life should we live if somebody is watching us? And your life that you live will reflect or an influence on somebody that might be their eternal destination will rest upon the way that you live and the things that you do, for they watch you. And in our text this morning as influence, we find that King Uzziah was a great influence to Isaiah, the young prophet. Isaiah had been called to his side, and being a noted, a vindicated prophet of his day, and he had, and I believe the way that Isaiah spoke it, he was had a great influence upon Isaiah. And now we find that Uzziah was called to be king at the age of about 16 years old after his father's death, and his father was a great believer, and his mother was also a very fine woman. And this young kid had been crowned at a very early age, and quickly he taken the road that was right because of the influence of a godly father and godly mother. And I think that's a very fine example for our parents today, is to set an example before our children. Now you'll live your best and you'll live your worst at home. And I think that our lives, and though the children might not just exactly act like they're noticing it, but they are noticing it. And don't you never think that they're not, because they're watching. Not only the children are watching, but your neighbors are watching. Not only the neighbors are watching, but all that you are associated with watch you. And the people at your church watch you. And the people you do business with in the markets, they watch you after your confession. And we should always try to reflect Christ in everything that we do. So I ask you, is your Facebook reflecting Christ? I'm just asking you the question. You don't have to answer me. But I think you do have to answer your conscience. Because you will, on the day of judgment, your Facebook will be flipped through for all the world to see. And the question will come up. Yes, it will be. Brother Branham said, everything you do is being recorded right now. So the fact that you're looking back and forth at each other, that's been recorded. And I'm sorry. But everything you say, everything you do, and your thoughts are heard louder in heaven than even your words. There's no escaping the judge. He's a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And your whole purpose in life will be shown to all the world. And you'll be proven the hypocrite that you are. Or you'll be proven the righteous son or daughter of God that you are. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful for your word. And Lord, we are thankful also that we do have time yet to repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we have the promise that if we truly repent and are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But even as Brother Branham said, you can receive the Holy Ghost every hour of your life and still go to hell. It's that soul. Is our soul from God? If it is, then our life will reflect where we're going. And if it's not, our life also reflects where we're going. And so if our life is reflecting righteousness and holiness, that's because that's where our glorified condition is. So we're looking at a spiritual thing here, Lord, that we don't quite understand. But your prophet said, right now in the presence of God is your glorified body. And it's reflecting what you are here. Or what you are here is reflecting what you are there. And so, Lord, we realize then that it's almost as if we have a parallel universe living in this life in the flesh and yet having a soul which is in another dimension. And Father, we don't quite understand these things that your prophet said, but we do realize, Lord, there's an accountability that we have to. We will all stand before the judgment seat. And so, Lord, we believe that the judge, you, Father, are here. And we are now standing before the judgment seat. And others who are not in your election will have to come and stand before the white throne. But our white throne is now. So Father, while our white throne is now and we have time to repent, I pray, Father, that each and every one of us would come to full repentance in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine. shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever.